sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studios mobile today, courtside at the Bryce Jordan Center, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team takes on Purdue at 7 o'clock. Also, Sunbury Motors is 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. National Letter of Intent Day tomorrow. Big show coming up tomorrow. Kevin with an assist from Brian Tripp will have plenty to talk about tomorrow. I believe Buhner's in too. Now let's get to Alex Rodriguez. This is the Tom Verducci article in Sports Illustrated. Tom Verducci writes, the notebooks reported to belong to Florida wellness clinician Tony Bosch connect Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez to a staggering array of drugs and supplements. Now, remember, I want people to remember this part of it, though. When they hear, like, there's a list of 19 different things, some of them are actually minerals and supplements. They are not all on the banned list, all right? Okay, that's just a note of fairness to start out. After that, you can be as unfair as you want. Literally morning, noon, and night, and through multiple delivery systems, including lozenges, creams, and injections. Those notes, parts of which in the Miami New Times have published online, provided a roadmap Major League Baseball investigators have begun to follow. A contingent of MLB officials met in Miami yesterday with New Times staff members to learn more about the notebooks, how they were acquired, the names of other players not named in the report, and the possibility of the New Times turning over those documents. Investigators also intend to follow Bosch's notes to see if they lead to corroborating evidence, such as receipts for plane trips and overnight packages, according to a source close to the investigation. The source said investigators are also tracking packages tied to Juan Nunez, a player confidant who formerly worked for agents Sam and Seth Levinson, and who was a co-conspirator with Melky Cabrera on a website scam staged after a failed drug test by Cabrera last year. New Times editor Chuck Strauss confirmed MLB officials asked for the notebooks and logs, but that the publication has not yet decided how to respond to the request that they are deliberating. Strauss said the publication has received only one response from a legal representative, named persons in the report, and that was what he termed an aggressive letter questioning whether the report violated federal HIPAA laws, which are designed to protect patient privacy under the care of health care providers. The notebooks contain a trove of information from 2009 to 2012, especially about Rodriguez, and suggested volume of doping almost unheard of in baseball. The documents released by the New Times connect Rodriguez to at least 19 drugs and supplements, including the banned substances testosterone, HGH, and IGF-1, and define one doping regimen that includes as many as 19 injections, four other injections of IGF-1, nine shots of CJC, that's a growth hormone releasing hormone, and GHRP, a growth hormone that releases peptide, and six shots of HGH at 2.5 international units. Rodriguez, through a statement, of course, has denied being treated by Bosch and characterized the documents as not legitimate. Yeah, okay, well, why don't you just deny the whole thing instead of saying the documents aren't? You start playing games with words. When I see games with words, that indicates to me you get trouble. The only thing that surprises me to be used that much as a surprise is Gary Wadler, a past chairman of the Anti-Doping Agency. According to Bosch's notes, the failed test at Cabrera, which occurred in July and confirmed in August, appeared to be the tipping point for a financially stretched Bosch and possibly the demise of his since-shuttered Biogenesis Clinic in Coral Gables. Upon Cabrera's suspension, Bosch wrote a letter addressed to Juan in which he sought $14,000 in payments from Cabrera, including what Bosch described as a $5,000 all-star bonus for helping him make the all-star team. Bosch appears to use food as a code name for his drugs, as I am out of thousands of dollars because I bought this month's food, as well as explaining I would like to send all the food out immediately to you so you may distribute it. Sounds like he works for UNICEF. In a letter, Bosch also complained that the rift between him and Cabrera threatened to harm his relationship with Rodriguez, who was referred to with the codename Cachique. This is to put my relationship with Cachique at risk at the tune of $12,000 a month. I have 4 years remaining on that deal. Ironic. There is no indication whether Cabrera or Bosch settled the financial dispute, but the notations of Bosch's notebook dry up after the dispute, at least according to documents released by the New Times. Records describe Biogenesis clients according to how the drugs were distributed to them, office pickup delivery. Rodriguez is listed as baseball delivery, as well as the notation cash. The list of notations in nearly every case dovetails the exact schedules and notice statistics of the players in question. Those notations include, this is Tom Bertucci's article, Sports Illustrated, a drug regimen that appears to have been written in 2011, the year of the 19th Annual World Congress on Anti-Aging and Aesthetic Medicine. The title appears at a letterhead on the paper used to outline for Cachique, Rodriguez's clinic codename. The regimen calls for taking growth hormone-releasing hormone and growth hormone-releasing peptides in 0.7 international units, a.m., noon, p.m., three times a week. A 2012 reference to Rodriguez lists him as paid through April 30th and continues, I need to see him between April 19th or 13th and the 19th. Delivers include pink cream and May meds. He has 3 weeks of sub-Q as of April. The dates dovetail the exact dates of a Yankees homestand. Troches, by the way, are lozenges used to deliver testosterone. The pink cream is believed to be a transdermal delivery system of testosterone, and sub-Q is shorthand for subcutaneous. A notation for May 7th to the 8th, 2012, refers to NYC A-Rod. The Yankees had an off day at home May 7th and played a home game on the 8th. A reference in the 2012 notebook of Rodriguez's batting average, home runs and RBIs, 277, 719. His exact numbers of May 29th when the Yankees were in Anaheim. Meanwhile, April 4th, 2012 delivery plan, in person or by mail. For Yasmani Grandal, a catcher for the AAA Tucson Padres, payment will be made by his girlfriend, includes $500 for expense. The names of Alex Rod and Yuri Sukrat, his cousin, are on a May 21st, 2010 voucher. A busy week in 2012 that refers to Texas outfielder Nelson Cruz in Baltimore, May 7th. Rodriguez, New York, May 8th. Cabrera, Phoenix, May 10th. Cruz was hitting 216, hitting May 7th. He hit 500 over the next week. A note about Cruz on May 29th with his exact Triple Crown stats, 276, 7, and 34. A holiday discount, December 14, 2011, notation of drugs associated with University of Miami trainer Jimmy Goins. Gift certificate, $75 off Christmas. It notes as well as a credit of $100 for a referral. This is unbelievable.
I mean, this is pretty damning evidence right now.
Well, as long as they can confirm who Cachique is, how about that?
All right, that's a good point.
Okay, if you can confirm that that is who they say it is, then yes, it does become damning. How about that? So that's what it comes down to. Can you determine who Cachique is? You can confirm it's Alex Rodriguez, you have problems. I'm talking about A-Rod. These notebooks have obviously very detailed information in them. But, of course, when it's done in code. Now, here's the problem that A-Rod has. I think the problem he has is Melky Cabrera. I mean, if Bosch and Cabrera start confirming who certain people are, and Cabrera, it's not he's a distributor, but it's been determined that he's one of the individuals that, you know, that was already major. This is look, nobody's going to want him. If this turns out to have any part to it that is true, then I think he's done. What do you think?
Well, that's what I said. Just listening to this, if they can tie the names together, I mean, it's over. I mean, it is absolutely over. Now, I want to know why. I mean, I guess I can understand where the conspiracy idea comes from, but man, if you're really going to conspire against A-Rod, this is an awful lot of work.
By A-Rod or by Bosch?
By Bosch conspiring against A-Rod is what I'm saying. I that's an awful lot of work to go through.
Yeah, but, well, you know what, though? Yeah, but he's getting money. If you're talking about, you know, you're talking about big money here. If the money totals we're talking about are correct, based on the shipments and so forth, then that's a different, you know, this is all about cash. In the end, what Bosch is alleged to have done is he's alleged to have run a business by using these individuals, and in order to do it, by working in code, using different delivery systems, and so forth. If that's the case, and again, it sounds like what happened with Cabrera has shut the guy down. Well, you know, now Major League Baseball investigators are in this thing.
And it goes back to the thing I said a couple of weeks ago. Is there anybody in sports right now that is successful, that is doing it right, fairly, however you want to word it?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I don't think.
Yeah, but it's getting harder and harder to find them, isn't it?
Well, I've never, you know, you never once heard for, let's take a teammate. Have you ever heard Derek Jeter linked to anything?
Not yet, but you have to sit back. With all these things coming out now, and somebody new every day, it seems, you have to wonder. I mean, maybe that's cynical, but.
Are we going to get to the point, and I'm only asking the question, this is not a commentary, are we going to get to the point where we look at PEDs as just an accepted part of I don't know.
No, wait. Are we going
to take for?
Are we getting? It's going to be an accepted part of the game. Is that what you said?
Yeah. For example, over the past 10 days, have you had? Okay, you know,
having a little bit of a trouble with the connection here to the Bryce Jordan Center, and we'll get things squared away here once again in just a moment and try and get back to Steve now. Now go ahead and start. Yeah, go ahead and start that. Okay. Start that paragraph over again.
In the last 10 days, have you had an alcoholic beverage?
Last 10 days, no.
Yeah, I don't care. Beer, wine, anything.
Yeah, I had to think a little bit, but no.
Have you had it since the first of the year?
Yes.
Or Christmas. Okay. Late 1920s, early 1930s, you couldn't.
No, wait. Say that again.
Okay, we have the late 1920s and early 1930s, you couldn't. We have prohibition.
You're talking prohibition. Okay.
Yes. It is now an Is it now an accepted part of society? Go to and you can pick up alcoholic or non-alcoholic beverages, correct?
That is correct. And in the state of Pennsylvania, it might be even easier soon.
Right. I'm saying, but you know, you can go to state stores and it's an accepted part. My question is, will it become an accepted part of society that PEDs?
Yeah, but alcohol doesn't enhance my performance on anything. It doesn't make me better at my job.
No, it doesn't. No. No, well, we can debate that one.
All right. I opened the door to that one, didn't I?
We'll come back with more from the George Center in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles, lowest price promise, $17,999. 2008 Ford Fusion, four doors with four-wheel drive, $13,966. A 2006 Lincoln LS four-door V8 sports sedan, just $12,455. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door GLS, lowest price promise, $59.45. 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab, just $17,995. And 2011 Ford Explorer four-wheel drive XLT, $28,523. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. See, when you bring people together.
Unfortunately, I did not hear any of that. I'm so upset and heartbroken.
I said, what you've done is you've, Lawrence and I are now bonding.
Oh, yeah, great.
No, I mean, you made him start yesterday's show with a Super Bowl commercial. I mean, the same thing.
No. I made him talk about it in the first half hour. That's
no,
all.
He said you started it.
He is mistaken.
Meanwhile, okay, now I'm sorry. He texted me.
He's on performance enhancing drugs. I'm sorry.
Well, good. It sounds it on the air. He sounds great. he's turning out one big time show after another. I'm trying to keep up with him. You're the common link between the two.
Well, now
we've bonded.
And now you've brought an interesting point into my mind. Do we want these players to be performing at this kind of a level anyway for our own entertainment?
Well, what brought baseball back?
The home run chase?
Yeah, it did. Now, what happened was it got a little bit out of hand. You know, we're suddenly, you know, nobody was hitting 50 home runs, and now we've got two guys chasing 65, 66, 70. And then what happened was, after getting to 70, Bonds comes along, hits 73, and everybody goes, hey, what's going on here? You know, but they were talking about juice baseballs and things like that. Well, okay.
Well, there's a point to the technology too.
Look, we liked it in 1988 initially when Ben Johnson ran 979. Okay, it was exciting. Well, you're excited when Usain Bolt runs.
Yes.
Okay. Well, when Ben Johnson ran 979 in 1988 in Seoul, people were excited. When McGuire and Sosa hit 70 and 66 respectively in 1998, people were excited. It's interesting that when we look at, you know, how excited were Yankee fans, for example, with the great years Roger Clemens was turning in. Now, again, in the court of law, he was found not guilty. So let's. I want to make sure we preface it with that. Court of law is still very, very important. Still very, very important when you're judged by a jury of your peers. Fans been by this. I mean, they, you know, it, people have been excited to see great moments happen. How far can we as humans push the envelope? I mean, will we then sit back and settle for, hey, I had a good year, he hit 25, drove in 100, and hit 302? Are we excited by that? Or are we, he hit 70 with 170 running, and he hit 355. Okay? He ran a 4.16.40. All right? We're all about numbers. And the more we push it, the more people are interested and excited by it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Great to have you with us on this celebration day for the Ravens. Stopped at M&T Bank Stadium to finish out the parade today. And when you look at the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL, which you now have to put Joe Flacco into that top seven group, I mean, it's only logical. He's played well enough the last 2 years, and I don't mean just this year. I mean, he's played well enough the last 2 years to put himself there. And it's no coincidence that he got, you know, the maturity of Flacco into being a really good quarterback also coincided with the Ravens, Ozzie Newsome brilliantly looking at the Ravens and saying, look, we're long in the tooth on defense. We're not as good on defense. We need to be more explosive on offense. And so Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones, acquiring Anquan Boldin, drafting Bernard Pierce makes a big difference in what they are doing. All right. And it makes a big deal. With his football team. The Ravens were 17th this year in total defense. Part of that injury, part of that age. It also coincided with the development of Joe Flacco, who now is in his fifth year, and with him being in his fifth year, that that maturity, see the field better to go with the receivers they acquired, is brilliantly done by Ozzie Newsome. Brilliantly done. He recognized what he had. You know, he recognized what he had, an aging defense and a quarterback that was developing. When you look at the Ravens, Jones, Smith, Boldin, Pitt of the tight end, of the elite seven quarterbacks, the only one that may have comparable, if not maybe a little bit better, is Aaron Rodgers. You're talking about that, and he's going to lose Greg Jennings and Donald Driver's retired. He still has the ever-dynamic and developing Randall Cobb. James Jones has gone from a drop machine comparable to Terrell Owens to now being a guy who had one drop the entire season, one. And he's a deep threat as well, and Jordy Nelson. And not bad tight ends. even though the tight ends had a few more drops. He does not, Rodgers does not have the offensive line or the running game that Flacco has. So, everything's come to you. You have to look at the whole thing. There's been so much negative focus on Joe Flacco, which I've tried to talk about during the year. I talked about the drive against the Steelers last year that beat them with 8 seconds to go. I talked about the drive against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Those were upper-level quarterback drives. He had a good September. He had a lousy December. He had a great January and February. But when you look at Ozzie Newsome is the one that looked at this whole thing and brilliantly deduced aging defense, not the same personality, developing quarterback, getting better, I need to put weapons around him. He acquires Anquan Boldin. He acquires Jacoby Jones. Torrey Smith develops. Pitt has become a really good tight end. Flacco's always been good at finding his tight end anyway, even when he was quarterbacking games where they told him, look, don't lose it for us, okay? Now they're telling him to win it. They were telling him in the first 2 years, like, defense, running game, okay? And the drafting of Bernard Pierce. When you look at the receiver set that they have, it's a better receiver set than the Steelers, and their running back set, either one of the running backs would start for the Steelers.
Listen, just about any running back will start for the Steelers right now.
And the fan in you comes out. All right.
Well, can I shift you out of football? Because I honestly, at the end of the Super Bowl, I packed away football.
Hold on 1 second. I just got this note from Baker. You'll love this.
Okay.
With basketball season underway, we here in Chicago are getting very excited about hosting the Big Ten tournament. We can't think of a better way for you to see and enjoy Chicago than from 94 floors above the city in the John Hancock Building. The Signature Room at the 95th offers beautiful private dining rooms that accommodate any size group ranging from 8 to 180. Amy, you're making the trip, aren't you? You better be, because we're going to the John Hancock Building, the whole group of us. With a wide variety of menus and dining options, the Signature Room at the 95th is the perfect place to host Penn State for a pre- or post-game dining experience. Call me today to find out more about the private dining space and check availability for your unforgettable event while staying in Chicago. We look forward to hearing from you and seeing you in March. Go Penn State. This is from the private dining manager of the Signature Room at the 95th. Well, right now, in the lead for us is going to the Chop House. Now you may go. It's up to you.
And then the lead is going to the Chop House.
No, the Chop House is one of the great steakhouses in America.
But do you have the final decision on this? Is that why they said it to you? That's my question.
I can go any darn place I feel like.
I see. All right, then.
That's right. Yeah. Loving life.
All right, well, let me shift you to baseball for a moment. I was talking to some Phillies fans over the weekend, and they kind of had the same feeling I did, a little confused on this Philly signing Chad Durbin thing. Because the opinion that we all had together, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, but every time Chad Durbin got in the game, we ended up getting whiplash from watching the ball go over the fence. He'd have a couple of good outs, and then bang, gone.
You are a bitter guy.
Well, tell me I'm wrong. Make me feel better.
I can't. All right.
I knew it.
I can't make you feel better.
I knew it. So is Chad Durbin a legitimate setup man, or is this Ruben Amaro just filling a roster spot?
Well, you got to give him a shot at being. You know, one thing about being a setup guy, all right, is that you're actually gambling. That the guy's gonna have a career year. Okay.
That wouldn't take
gambling
much.
On every. But I'm saying, though, every team that has one of these guys, that's what you're banking on. You're banking on them having a career year. Right? I mean, that's what most of these guys come down to. Most of these guys come down to whether they have a career year or not.
That does not make me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, but all these guys, but okay. Who was a professional setup guy? Tell me who a professional setup guy is. Where, like, he's been the setup guy with his team forever and ever and ever.
Well, there was a point where I would say Ryan Madsen was probably a good, was probably a professional setup guy, but he's turned himself into, or at least tried to turn himself into a closer.
Of course, they all want to be closers. Daniel Bard wants to be a closer. Okay, the consummate setup guy was Mariano Rivera. He set up John Wetland. Well, in the end, he wanted to be a closer. Can you blame him? They all want to be closers. They all want to be the guy in the end. Want to either be a closer or you want to be a starting pitcher. And so, I mean, that's what they want to be. That's why these guys, they're gypsies. They move around all the time. These teams are just hoping that they can get some innings out of them. I mean, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that's what they get.
Well, the thing with the Phillies right now is based on health for 2013. And this was an interesting number that I ran across the other day. The Phillies have lost over $100 million to injuries over the last five seasons, and almost $65 million of that coming from 2011 and 2012 alone.
Well, to me, most setup guys that you get are usually veterans, or else you get a kid that... he's not ready to be a closer, but he has a big arm. You want to put him in a spot, get him in the games. I mean, that's what you're looking for. And, usually your setup guys are the guys at the tough spot. They're the ones that will actually walk in with the runner on first and third. A lot of the guys that come in to close games, they like to give them the ball in the ninth inning and have them pitch the ninth inning. And they start with the bases empty. It used to be a relief pitcher, like Goose Gossage would come in, and Goose Gossage would come out, and there'd be runners on first and third and one out, and he'd blow away two guys, and you're like going, oh, that was pretty interesting. I mean, it's all changed. It's all changed. So, I mean, most of these guys are, I'm trying to make you feel better about this, but...
Not really, but yeah. Thanks for trying.
No, but I'm just saying, it's hard to do because most of these guys, I mean, that's what they do.
All right, here's something we really could get your insight on because you've seen both very, very closely. Michigan-Ohio State tonight. Has Ohio State won like seven straight in this matchup?
With Michigan?
With Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan will beat them tonight at home. All right. I mean, they play what they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they play tonight at 9.
They'll beat him. They'll beat him at home tonight. Many more weapons. I think playing Kraft will do a good job on Burke, but they'll have to do a better job of getting other people. I'll tell you, the guy that's really become a great defender for them, for Ohio State, has been Shannon Scott. And, of course, his father is one of the legends. You know him I'm referring to, of course. Who is, I think, every African-American basketball player playing the college game today needs to thank Shannon Scott's father. Charlie Scott played at North Carolina in the ACC in the South. He was the first real impact African-American player, and, of course, this being Black History Month, in the ACC. And players across the country in today's modern era owe him a debt of gratitude because – he not only stepped in and did so well, but did it at such a high level with class. But Shannon Scott's become a really good defender. Kraft's a great defender. They're going to have to somehow do a better job on Deshaun Thomas.
Yeah, he had 20 last time out.
By five. Well, he had 20 against everybody except Penn State. I mean, he's the leading scorer in the conference. I mean, the leading scorer in the conference.
Matter of fact, he was the only one in double figures for Ohio State in that last game back in January.
Well, I think they got to, what, 59 in that game?
56. 56-53 was the final.
Yeah. I was sitting in the Purdue airport, and we were listening to it. You know, that's so I think Michigan wins by 5 tonight. They bounce back from the Indiana thing, and they win tonight. Ohio State is a team that, in my opinion, is going to be good, and they are definitely a Sweet 16 team. Whether they can get to the Elite Eight, I have my doubts. Michigan is a Final Four team. Indiana's a Final Four team. Michigan State, to me, is an Elite Eight possibility. Ohio State's a Sweet 16 team. Minnesota's a Sweet 16 team.
How many Big Ten teams make the tournament this year?
7.
Wow.
I think Wisconsin makes it as the 7th team.
And do you think this is one of the most wide-open Big Ten tournaments coming up here that you can remember?
Could be. Could be. I mean, I think quarterfinal day will be one of the more exciting days in the Big Ten. It's all going to depend on what the matchups are. I mean, but the teams that are on the outside looking in, I mean, obviously Penn State, Nebraska, I mean, that's obvious. You know, Iowa's a team that's going to probably make the NIT. Purdue is borderline. I don't know if Purdue even makes the NIT. They're 11-11 right now, and and I'll tell you right now, Penn State has a shot at beating them here tonight. To be frank with you, Penn State has a real shot. If they can handle Hammonds inside and get a little control on Bird on the outside, they've got a shot at him tonight. Because I think Penn State's ready to play this thing. Northwestern, it looks like they're an NIT team. Northwestern's played really well the last couple of weeks. They took Purdue to the woodshed by 15 points on Saturday. So, I mean, that's how I view the tournament. You know, we have a month to go here before we get to it. I mean, because everything's late this year. I mean, you know, Selection Sunday is not until March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. You know, they did that because they said, look, we want to celebrate Amy O'Neill Day the best way we can. So St. Patrick's Day is going to be the day that they have Selection Sunday. Big party over at your place with beverages from Brewers Outlet.
Sure.
No? See? A confirmation on the air. Love it. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. I think we've run the gambit on every topic today.
We have an update from the NFL. The halftime show will be in stadium, so will the pregame, according to the Brian McCarthy and the PR department.
That's great. Well, as I always tell every group, make your own mistakes. So...
Just want to make sure we got that cleared.
Gee, that's great. I'm glad you jumped in and said that. I am kicking it here on Solitaire. This is tremendous. You're mad I'm doing this, aren't you?
No, I'm just not surprised you're doing it. There's a difference.
What? You've been here listening to you do the show. You've been great. It's been one of your stronger performances.
Thanks. I think. You know what? I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show. We're going to talk a lot about recruiting. We're going to have...
We have a lot of stuff going on tomorrow, yeah.
We'll talk about the Shikellamy-Milton basketball game. Milton has had a resurgence in their basketball program now, so we're going to have Steve DeLong on, the head coach of the Milton Black Panthers, in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about how he's turned that around.
All good. That should be a great show tomorrow, especially on National Letter of Intent Day, which we're looking forward to. And I think the remarkable thing about what was seen with National Letter of Intent Day, I mean, let's just bottom line it. And the bottom line is this. Penn State held it all together. Players helped do it. Coaches did it. University did it. They held it all together. When everybody was pick, and trying to come after Penn State, as much as they could to get to Penn State, In the end, Penn State held it together. I mean, they were able to get, I mean, literally everybody they wanted. Was there a guy here or there that ended up?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That a lot.
Yeah, there may be one guy here or there that didn't quite work out, but for the majority, I think they did really well. So at this point,
yeah, I mean they did great, and they held it together. And you got to give them credit for how this thing was held together by players. I mean they did this, and that's something the guys that I can't really get specific about, but I think people know which players I'm talking about. That just stepped up and said, look, nobody's going to, we're not going to have this class disrupted. Not going to have it happen. And to their credit, they made sure that it stayed intact. And that's the part I look at and admire very much, that you have leadership from young people in moments of apparent crisis. And the way they have stepped up and done this, I have found to be absolutely remarkable. Now, 5 minutes and 22 seconds, I won. You're mad, aren't you?
You're talking about solitaire now, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you were talking, so I played solitaire.
Oh, brother. Well, and I also
make sure I got them for the shows.
It'll also be good. It'll also be good to see how these run-ons come out.
Look, I mean, that there'll be an important part of what's going on with the program, okay? But take that stuff one step at a time, just like it with the freshmen. Don't get all bent out of shape about, this guy, that guy. Let them develop at their own pace. There is a transition from high school to college that has to be made both physically and academically. So don't, 2 years from now, say, I don't understand what happened to him. Be patient. Oh, by the way, patience is not a word that people use in sports very often. But it's also an important word if you're smart.